Hey, horror fans, we are Mike, Mike, and Oscar, and yes, we make award season year-round. That's actually one of our taglines, but something we also live for is getting horror films the respect they damn well deserve.
We want great horror movies at the Oscars, and to prove it, we cover the horror genre year-round as well. Jordan Peele's Us, Midsommar, and the Halloween franchise rewatch we did, those are just a few of the recent highlights.
Now, as for this year's fall programming, we're all about evil clowns and zombies, and the people that most resemble one of your favorite aunts. So, of course, we're covering It Chapter 2, all 2 hours and 49 minutes of its glory.
But even more than that, we're also in the midst of the Joker character study building towards the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie from DC.
And this October is special for another reason, because for the third time, Mike, Mike, and Oscar here, MMO, will be contributing to All the Horror, an event series featuring 31 days of podcasts and horror-themed content.
And here's where the zombie part comes in. For this year's event, we're paying homage to Zombieland Double Tap by asking all of our friends at All the Horror how they would spend their zombie apocalypse. It'll be a clip show featuring a bunch of our favorite podcasters, like our fearless leaders here in ATH, Invasion of the Remake.
Yes, you can join us to get ready for the Oscars, to get ready for Zombieland Double Tap, and get ready for the apocalypse. We're Mike, Mike, and Oscar, and we'll be joining All the Horror on Thursday, October 17th. Get ready.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. So, look, I gotta ask. What's the catch? There's always a catch.
There was a tragedy, a crime, a murder.
I'm sorry, what?
In the house?
Several people, a family. But, you know, we've moved on, the whole town. It is a distant memory now, and... Oh, the house is fine.
Really? Doesn't it seem kind of strange to buy this house, honey?
Well, houses don't kill people. People kill people.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast, where we are live at the Amityville Horror site in my living room in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Yes, and we're so excited.
Yes, we are very, very excited about Amityville Horror. Okay, well, I may be a little more enthusiastic than that.
I'm okay. I like there's problems with it. I enjoy Haunted House movie, but I'm waiting for a really good one to be made.
Well, before we get to that, Sam, hold that thought for a second. This one we did do because it was running up for episode 200 in our polls, and it lost by one frickin' vote.
One.
So we thought we'd save it for this episode, which is our 4-year anniversary.
Yes, it is.
Happy did you guys like the flowers?
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, I did. But why are they dead and black?
Isn't 4th anniversary the death of the newness of the relationship?
It's when the sex gets bad.
It's when you're wondering if you've made a mistake.
As somebody who's been married longer than that, I will not validate that.
None of my relationships have lasted more than 4 years. So.
No. It's weird. If you can take it like as not in a relationship with that person, but still maintaining a friendship over many years, like I've got a very long relationship with several people.
Every day past today is going to be my longest relationship.
There we go.
With this podcast.
Nice. Well, you're just waiting for the right one to come along.
This could be the right one.
Yeah, there
this
you go.
This could be the right one. So yeah. you're saying about Amityville Horror there, Sam.
I forgot.
I told you to keep it in your head.
Yes, but we got sidetracked.
We did.
Well, yeah. It's like the house. It just pulls out who you are in your head and just makes you think things.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was going to say that the part of the reason that this is, I mean, it's dated, right? The original is very, very dated. The fact that it's quote unquote based on a true story
that's completely made up. Yeah.
It's hard to sort of view it that way. I mean, if you view it as a fictional story, they're not bad, right? And it's hard to say that considering how well-revered especially that original is. Mm-hmm. Did I say especially? I totally did. Especially how revered that
I guess, yeah. is, right? I guess this movie, based on a true story, is probably more accurate than when Texas Chainsaw Massacre used it.
Yes.
True.
Somebody told me about Ed Gein once. I'm writing a movie. That has nothing to do with Ed Gein.
No. Well, that's more of an inspired by than based on a true story.
Inspired
right?
by. Yeah.
Right. Well, I think this one is too. I mean, were there...
In retrospect now, yes.
Yes. Yeah. The DeFeo murders did happen in that house.
Yes.
And it was a huge tragedy, and I don't know if we'll know the full truth of that. Did weird things happen at a house? Maybe. Did a couple of people buy a house that they couldn't afford?
Yes.
Were they looking for a payout? I'm going to say that is a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when the guy who's the lawyer for the surviving DeFeo, who ultimately went to jail for the six murders, is the guy who also claims that he sat down with the Lutzes and came up with this idea... over many a bottle of wine.
Well, and didn't he also...
And it does kind of watch like it's a drinking binge idea.
And didn't he also kind of sue because they didn't go with him? They didn't partner up with him to do the book?
Yes.
So...
Yeah, so there were some...
So that muddies it a little bit,
yeah,
but still...
And then there are claims made that have been proven false or haven't stood deeper questioning.
Oh, and George Lutz was litigation crazy. Mm-hmm. He's all about suing because this isn't the story the way it happened. They weren't crediting him for stuff. Like, especially with all of the subsequent Amityville stuff, he was suing everybody.
Oh, yeah. He's suing everybody, and he was in one with... Was it Universal made this movie?
I think so, yeah.
The remake. And yeah, he was in another lawsuit. By that point, his wife had passed away. And it was still ongoing, but he died a couple years afterwards when it was still ongoing.
Yeah.
Because he was supposed to be involved, according to the original contracts, or so he claimed.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting about it is I think there is a story to be had here when you think about the DeFeo murders, but I think it's also kind of about how mental illness can be misconstrued as like some sort of evil entity.
Yeah, well, I mean, that scene in the original film where the doorway is blown out, and I guess that's in the book. I have read the book, but I honestly don't remember a lot of it. It was a long, long time ago. And the new owner is saying, yeah, there's no way this has been repaired. This is the original doorway. It's fine. Ultimately, it did wind up being a huge cash cow because of the countless sequels and documentaries and whatnot about
spin-offs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Amityville's become a big, big business as far as B, C level horror movies. Three went to the theater, the rest were direct to video until the remake. And yeah.
It's something with the word Amity, because isn't it like Amity and Jaws 2?
That's
it's so weird, like Amityville and then Amity. I'm like, just stay out of Amity overall.
I mean, the house that's in Long Island, New York has actually been altered somewhat to get rid of those windows from that Dutch colonial house. Yeah, that's pareidolia, just saying, oh, those are eyes. But it's so recognizable that they actually put standard rectangular windows in it.
Yeah. And changed the address.
They did change the address. And something similar happened to the house that was in New Jersey that they shot the original film in because mm-hmm. they couldn't shoot in the original. They wanted to, but they couldn't shoot in yeah. the original house in Long Island. So they found a similar house in New Jersey. And once again, those house owners also changed those windows.
And understandably so. You kind of get tired of looky-loos going, well, I want to go look.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is only 4 or 5 years after The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. So there's still a real hunger for a story like this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once it broke out with the book and then the film, it just was people from all over the world were flooding this poor neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how that does happen, especially considering this one purports to be based on fact.
I mean, you think about it, they're parking in driveways that belong to other people's houses, yeah. and they're literally ripping off siding off the house so they can have a piece of the house to take home.
And that's
it's
just
like,
insane.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it comes not even just with this. The house in Breaking Bad, the people there were having a hell of a time with people coming by throwing pizzas on the roof.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
it's just people are ridiculous sort of when it comes to real life sites if people yeah. still live there.
Yeah, please respect the people's properties.
Yes.
yeah.
You were breaking the law. You were trespassing if you were doing this.
Or
so
vandalizing.
Please don't do this.
Yeah, it's...
And if
it's
you respect
insane.
The property
yeah.
and if you respect what you saw, respect the place.
Yeah. I like, mean, fucking buy a postcard. Or if you're in the neighborhood, do a slow drive yeah. by, do a click with your phone and keep going. And even that's kind of creepy to the neighbors.
Exactly. Yes. and But yeah, like even if you do, if the people can get on board and be like, I just want a picture. Like if you're
Instagram it, bitch.
Very respectful. you will be fine. Like just treat it like if your house became the site of a famous movie or whatever. Just imagine all those people flooding in and how you would like to be treated.
Yeah. There is no Instagram in the 70s.
Instagram it, bitch.
Instagram now for the
Instagram
stuff.
Instagram it, bitch.
Instagram
it. Ah, new t-shirt.
Well, it was Polaroid and then on a bulletin board. Is that Instagram? That's 70s Instagram.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
This was my parents' Instagram.
yep.
There we go. We have a graphic and a catchphrase.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. 70s Instagram.
I don't know that that's Facebook might sue us because we can't actually use Instagram. But I like it. Maybe we can at least make it a meme.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't do it first. We thought of it.
Yeah.
Polaroid. It should still be a great t-shirt.
It would
yeah,
be a
it
great
would be.
T-shirt.
Yeah. There's a way. There's got to be a way. ooh, 70s social media. That's what we'll just do.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't even have to say Instagram. Boom. Status.
Insta star, 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 star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
there we go. We're good to go.
All right. Yeah.
And you posted it.
yeah. People will post the 70s posted
yeah.
social media.
Sidetracked again.
Ah, okay. Anyway.
We came
haven't talked about the movies yet.
Well, I kind of wanted to get in a yeah. little bit of background yeah. about the real place and kind of what happened there. And honestly, we don't know what happened there. Well, we only have the claims of what happened there and then the subsequent investigations that have proven a bit false in mm-hmm. some regards and some things that do support it. Because the Lutzes did wind up taking a lie detector test. I mean, granted, they repeated the same lie over and over and over again, or the same truth mm-hmm. that they passed it. But there were lots of things that didn't pass the smell test and stories that changed under more scrutiny.
Information that came out fairly recently, like George Lutz apparently was dabbling in the occult at the time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, if things were happening, because there's been no activity in that house since.
Yeah, it might have just been the Lutzes.
A place that Lorraine Warren said was the closest she ever wanted to get to hell.
Oh, yeah, and which movie was... That was one of the Conjuring ones, wasn't it?
No, that was... Well, yeah, that
they
Conjuring,
did that scene.
Yeah, Conjuring 2. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they did the opening scene, because they investigated it after the Lutzes moved out. I mean, the Warrens themselves have their own controversy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so much of this paranormal investigation stuff is... It's so hard to separate truth from mm-hmm. fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just because it's so difficult to prove these occurrences.
Mm-hmm. Under scrutiny now, apparently, like, the house wasn't haunted by the dead DeFeos, although there is a picture of a boy that was captured at one point in the house. It was the only picture that they found any activity. So maybe their spirits are still roaming around, but I wouldn't think anything evil was happening with them. And apparently this whole area was of the neighborhood was built over an Indian burial ground, and an Indian chief that had passed away was very angry about that. Thus the famous "Get out."
Oh, I wonder if that inspired Poltergeist.
Exactly. And honestly, if that happened, if I was an old Indian chief, I would be pissed too.
So
I'd be quite angry.
Was it the land itself that was cursed or haunted, or the house? Who knows?
Or none of the above.
Like I said, why wouldn't anybody else in the neighborhood have activity then? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's the other thing, too. Or maybe it's just the whole thing. If you're mentally unstable, paranormal activity might be the best way to describe your life.
And that's just it. Like, the window slamming that slammed on the kids' hands.
Oh.
Apparently, there was a window that did this. And under investigation, there was this loose floorboard. And the window wasn't quite set right with its counterbalances. So if you hit the floorboard right, it would flip up. Whoa. And then you hit it again, it would flip back down.
That's creepy.
And so there wasn't enough proper investigation. And think about the flies.
Yeah.
This is a year after 6 murders that, you know, once the investigation happened, this is the 70s as well.
How clean was
it? In a heated house. They're locked up in a heated house. Yeah, you're going to have some flies.
Yeah, unoccupied house, yeah.
Yeah, just common sense.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you didn't clean a room properly, you're going to get flies.
Yeah, and you know what? Probably most of those larvae were probably incubating until they turned the heat on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? And then all of a sudden you have all of these larvae that are now becoming flies.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have, they just didn't scrub. It's all this, they're probably, just little bits of tissue because somebody didn't care enough to do it right.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to rip up floorboards and all that stuff if you've got blood in it.
Yeah.
Not that I'd know about that. It just, you can tell that it soaks in.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So, yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways to debunk a lot of what they said happened.
Yeah, and I am getting a feeling that the Lutzes didn't hire somebody to really investigate this house, do the proper walkthroughs and stuff when they bought this house.
Yeah,
probably not.
That's just kind of what you do. Well, you don't just walk in, talk to a retailer, and start hugging each other. There's shit to do. There's paperwork to do. There's, you got inspections and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how thorough inspections would have been in 1974. I don't even know if that was one of the things that they were necessarily recommending. And I never really understood what George Lutz did. He was a contractor of some sort.
Yeah.
But watching the movie, it wasn't clear if that's what he did, was like building contracting, and kind of assumed that he could do...
That's what I sort of assumed, is he's supposed to be somebody who should be able to renovate a house if he has to, but never did any of that.
Well, you really never see him at work.
No, well, that's part of the story in the original. It's completely disregarded in the remake. But he had stopped going to work because of his descent into whatever it was that was happening to him.
Yeah. Well, let's actually run the trailer because I feel like we're ready to get into this movie. And we will dive into the Amityville Horror from 1979.
It's the kind of house they don't build anymore. A relic of a time when the world wasn't in such a hurry, when there was still time for a little charm and elegance. It has stood empty for a long while, and at the price, it is a bargain. For a growing young family, it is almost too good to be true.
What do you think?
I love it.
James Brolin, Margot Kidder, Rod Steiger, in the Amityville Horror.
God's peace in this house. Get out. Get out.
Hello?
Hello, Kathy. Father Delaney, there's something very important.
Go home.
What's all going wrong? We have to do something.
I'm coming apart! Oh, Mother of God, I'm coming apart!
Twenty-eight days after the Lutz family moved into their dream house, they were running for their lives. What happened to them is an experience in terror you will never forget. And you will believe in the Amityville Horror. From the best-selling book that made millions believe in the unbelievable, the Amityville Horror.
Amityville Horror from 1979, an AIP picture. The story was, of course, conceived by George and Kathy Lutz. Mm-hmm. The book was written by Jay Anson. The idea was credited, or was self-credited by William Weber, who was the lawyer of the DeFeos, who said he came up with it. But that's not an actual credit. Mm-hmm. And the screenplay was by Sanders Stern. The movie had a $4.7 million budget and went on to be a huge success. Just in the U.S., $86.4 million.
Wow. Hence the constant, mm-hmm. constant revisiting of this.
Yeah, I mean, story. Even as a low budget, it seems to continuously make money. Directed by Stuart Rosenberg, who also directed Cool Hand Luke. Starring the elder Brolin, James Brolin, who was in the original Westworld, as George Lutz. Margot Kidder as Kathy Lutz, of course Lois Lane in Superman movies. Mm-hmm. And we talked about her in episode 66.
Black Christmas.
Which I guess maybe we'll be doing a follow-up soon. I do believe a second remake is coming out later this year.
I had heard that myself, yeah.
Rod Steiger was Father Delaney, and he's been in some lots of great stuff. I know that look on Trish's face, so she's thinking Mars Attacks, and of course In the Heat of the Night, and lots of great stuff.
You just know him.
He is. Don Stroud was Father Bolin, who was in Django Unchained. Murray Hamilton was Father Ryan, and just like his mayor of Amity in Jaws,
yep,
he didn't believe shit.
I know. He's cornered the market on that character where something shitty is happening, and he's like, nope, 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 it's not happening.
It's not happening. Yeah,
he's all about denial.
Open up the beach.
Yep. Which also is at Amity. What's with this guy? He's just in Amity-based movies?
I think so. John Larch was Father Nuncio. He was in Dirty Harry. Natasha Ryan, who was Amy, she was in the movie The Entity. Casey Martell, who played Greg, was in E.T. Mino Poulos was Matt. Michael Sachs was Jeff. You can see him in Slaughterhouse 5. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should do that one day.
I was just thinking that when I saw that credit, I'm like, oh, I'd love to do that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Helen Shaver was Carolyn. She was in The Craft, which has also been on the remake list for a while. Yeah. Amy Wright was Jackie. She was in Deer Hunter. Val Avery was the investigating officer, Sergeant Gianofrido, and he was in episode 105.
Didn't get that one.
The Magnificent Seven.
Oh, I didn't get him. Dang it.
Yeah. Also starring Irene Daly as Aunt Helena and Mark Vohanian as Jimmy.
Yeah, I stopped after Helen Slater. I should have gone one further, I guess.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I saw
Mino, on my notepad, I give it 3 lines.
That's a good idea. Well, I was looking at, like, Mino Palooza. I'm like, oh yeah, Voyagers from the 80s. I love that show.
There you go.
It's funny, when we were watching this, Val watched both of these with me, and she saw the name, and she's like, I haven't seen that name in a long time. I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Most of these were TV actors. And you can actually say that about the other one as well. A lot of them went to do TV work, but this was back in the time where TV was and film actors were kind of separate.
Yeah.
James Brolin, because this is a lower budget film, he actually took 10% on the back end of the film, so he wound up getting paid big time
money.
It doesn't sound like a lot. I think he got $17 million, but adjusted, that was, it's like
$55 million.
Mm-hmm. So But smart. I mean, which is good because he was such a dick in this movie that he had trouble getting roles for about 2 years because he was people hated him.
And people miss the point of the movie. I there was something that you said. I'll let you say it, but where he's smiling after something, and I want to talk about that because. You go ahead and say what you had to say about it.
Okay. Well, there was a scene. They just moved in. It's the first day. Margot Kidder's got the one legging on and doing her little pirouette.
She's doing some ballet moves.
She's doing a little ballet moves. I mean, a little sexy enticing, I think, with the door wide open. but this leads into what I call Lut sexy time.
Yep.
And their daughter wanders into the room. the door at this point had been closed, but the door slowly opens. I'm not sure if it's happening on its own or if just one of those unbalanced
doors. Yeah.
But she's rubbing her eyes, which is a good thing because she might have seen something she didn't want to see.
Yeah. And then Margot Kidder gets his shirt on real quick.
Yeah.
I was really impressed at the speed there.
Yes, yes. So they deal with her, but they're smiling. And I'm like, what are you smiling about? You didn't get to finish.
Yeah. It's fine. Sometimes you're just happy to be there. If you want to finish, you can do it yourself. Honestly.
At some point, yes. It doesn't take much. But that goes to what you were talking about with George Lutz or James Brolin being unlikable as George Lutz. Mm-hmm. Is that all that was to sort of show how kind he was at the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
That transition from that kindness to the reprehensible human being that he ended up becoming for a while there.
Yeah, did anybody check that place for black mold?
No.
Like, seriously.
They didn't check it for anything. I think we've guaranteed that didn't happen.
Yeah, he was suffering fairly quickly. Like, he was feeling cold all the time, which is a little weird because it's usually with hauntings, it's traditionally like cold spots that move rather than follow somebody's one individual and feeling ill. And he actually would feel better leaving the house.
Yeah. But they don't really do that a couple of times. Like when he goes out to meet his friend, he still looks like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But the thing about it too is I think they were trying to establish him as a good guy and all this. I didn't think they spent enough time on it. It's a long movie, but they didn't do that the amount of time it needed to. And then he really switches pretty darn quickly.
Yeah. And that happens in the remake too. But
it's a little too quick. I just don't like it.
Right. But the same time, this all occurs within 28 days.
Yeah.
Right. So, and it's really tough to really extend that passage of time without losing the interest of your audience.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think, especially in the original, they need to spend a little more time showing how he connected with the kids. The remake.
I don't know if they needed more time. It was a 2-hour movie.
It's a 2-hour, but they spent too much time, I think, on the back end of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of wasted time in this movie. Yeah. I mean, honestly, this movie, IMDb rates it fairly decent for a horror movie, 6.2 out of 10. But the Rotten Tomatoes review for this movie was 28% and a 52% audience score. So review wise, it doesn't review kindly, and it's a slow slog. This movie, and unlike unlike The Conjuring, it's just. It doesn't feel that engaging to me. I mean, maybe for me, because I've read the book and I have seen both these movies.
And you're disillusioned by the story, knowing what we know now.
Yeah,
right. That's or we believe we know now. But I mean,
I didn't like it then, though.
I was kind of dreading this one because I remember not liking the original, but I enjoyed it more this time. But it was still a bit of a slog. Like I said, I watched it in three parts because I got distracted. We had a phone call from a friend who we hadn't talked to in a long time. So I had to pause it then.
I take that.
Thankfully, it caused me from just to watch it later. But yes.
And then so I watched most of the rest of it on the way to bed, but I passed out. Right? I missed the last 15 minutes, so I had to watch the last 15 minutes.
I passed out watching the movie. That's a great review.
Yeah. Nice. Right. Well,
I was up at 4 o'clock that morning, and I had to be up at 4 o'clock the next morning. It was still midnight when I fell asleep, so give me a break.
Okay. Fair.
It wasn't the movie. Right. It was... just pure exhaustion.
It wasn't my your problem that was happening consistently.
No. But on the whole, I understood the story better this time, I think, than I did the first few times I watched it. Because the first time I watched it, I was young, right? I was I was probably 14 or 15. Way not engaging for a 14 or 15 year old. Definitely. No. It's going to be fucking boring. I tried watching it in my 20s. I'm like, I saw more than I did when first time I watched it, but I still didn't find it as enthralling as other audiences seem to have. And I don't know why it's so well revered.
Well, and it's some of it is sort of...
I don't think it is.
In some circles it is. And I mean, the whole point of remaking it, they wanted to remake it because they thought, well, people definitely need to see this. And some people really like this movie. Mm-hmm. But there's like bits of it too where, again, you say it's a long slog. And then there's bits of it that go nowhere.
Yes.
Which mm-hmm. really irritated me. Like the whole pre-sideline story is like, we went all through that for what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the whole story about his business and stuff like that is like... We don't really need to see that.
Well, I think that's just to show the financial stress he's been put under. Yeah. I have to question the motives of the house. If he's trying to get these people out, why would it steal $1,500 from a wedding caterer, who, by the way, was kind of sketchy, and I think he worked for the mob.
That caterer.
If you're trying to kick people out, why would you give him a reason to stay and look for the money?
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm like, dumb house. You're a dumb house.
I know. This house, it's in many instances, I was really questioning. I didn't think the house wanted them to leave. I think the whole point of the house was to make him go insane and kill his family so they'd stay forever.
And the priest that comes to do the blessing on the house. I mean, because they were aware, and I think it was suggested, they were a very religious family, the Lutzes, at least in the original film.
That was suggested, but in actuality, kind of, they were lapsed.
Yeah, and in the subsequent film, it's not nearly as much. But they have family friends, they call, that are, is a sister.
And yeah, her aunt is a nun.
Aunt is a nun. So, you know, holy cow.
holy cow.
Holy cows. They have holy cows in the yard. Not really.
Well, I don't think in that
what
house.
What priest just walks in and, like, where are you? If you're expecting the priest, why are you taking off in the boat?
That's what I was wondering. Like,
if you're expecting him, like later in the film, like, oh, we were waiting for him, but he never showed up.
Because you fucking left.
And she was sitting there waiting all day. And when she said, do you want to go outside, grab a couple beers, go outside and play? I thought they were just be like, oh, we'll be in the backyard. Because that's what you would do if you're waiting for somebody.
And I mean, yes, maybe it's the 70s. You can just let yourself in. Nobody locks the thing. But once he sees them in the back, wouldn't you go leave to go see them before you do anything?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, hey, I'm here. Do you want me to bless your house?
Yep. That's what normal people do.
That is what normal people do, So I just kept doing that the whole movie. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? Why are you doing this?
And this priest...
Behave like people.
And this priest, as a psychologist, should know what acceptable behavior is.
You would think. You would think.
Unlike the remake where they use the CGI flies, and it's much later in the movie. This is like right early in the movie. They couldn't do that in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So they covered Rod Steiger's head in honey, just so they could attract the flies to him.
I'm guessing that's why he had his hair so short, because it was like going. He was just going to get all messy.
Yeah, in later roles he was just bald. Period.
So many questions about both of them, but the thing I enjoyed about the remake is they almost entirely did away with the pretense of it being based on a factual story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of kept the elements, the main story intact, and just reordered it, ditched what they didn't like.
I liked the inclusion of the children more in that thing, because this story also happened to them, but in the original...
They're sidelines. Yeah,
pretty much.
They're barely present.
Except for the little girl. Yeah. They're pretty much non-existent.
You know, they're showing the father changing, and it's not just him in a bad mood and yelling a lot. Like, it's almost abusive.
It's certainly verbally
abusive, and there's psychological torture even happening on the elder torture. One with Billy.
He makes him do the
labor.
It's one thing, too, where... I don't know, but like there was a subtext to it, because in the remake, her husband died. I don't remember hearing about the... I probably didn't hear it. I don't remember them hearing about the dying in the first movie, but I seem to have this like subtext where she had been married to somebody abusive. So this behavior was very troubling to her, thinking, oh shit, I've made another mistake.
Now, I was unclear. In the initial film, I wasn't as clear about, like, I thought one of the kids was his and two of them were hers, where I think they were all hers in the remake.
In both movies, they were all hers.
Oh, they were all hers. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. From her previous marriage. Yeah. From what I understand, he had never been married before. If he had, there were no children.
And I think that was sort of also part of the movie itself and why the house would possibly target that person, because in the midst of this family, he's kind of the outsider, essentially. So he's the weakest link if the the house wanted to do something.
And they talk about that at the very beginning. Well, at least they're calling me George now instead of Mr. Letts.
Mr. Letts.
Yeah.
Right. More so in the, like that. That's more present in the original,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is odd considering the kids are more present in the remake. But they don't really address that, and they're actually quite antagonistic towards George in the remake. Mm-hmm. Especially the older son.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, that I'm struggling for the word, that feeling that their dad is being replaced.
Yes.
And there's resentment. That's the word I'm looking for.
They're resentful of this usurper who's come in to take this place.
Right. At one point in the remake, the little girl says, "I miss daddy. I want daddy back."
And they changed her name to Chelsea in the remake, and it was Amy,
I believe. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
yeah.
But again, just reinforcing the fact that they're kind of doing away with the based on a true story type of thing. It's like it's inspired by it, but not really based on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They embrace the more modern horror tropes in the remake for sure, with the jump scares, things in the mirror, and
yeah.
It's all a bit eye-rolly, to be honest.
It is, yeah. The one thing about the remake that does is it removes the ambiguity of what's happening to them. Like, the thing about the original movie is, until the final scene, really, it's fairly ambiguous as to what's actually happening.
I mean, out of the two, I like the remake more. I mean, barely.
It's more entertaining.
Yeah, it's just more entertaining.
It's faster paced.
It's not a better movie, no.
It's just more entertaining.
Yeah, it is actually one of the shortest, if not the shortest, Amityville movie, because it chops off a full half hour.
I appreciate the quick pacing. I also like the idea of having a basement that looks like a basement and having George spend a lot of time in the basement, which I kind of enjoyed as a change from the original. Yeah.
The mysterious, in real life, the mysterious red room. That was in the back wall was actually just a closet that was clearly there to anybody who looked.
Yep.
Like it wasn't hidden at all. It wasn't some abattoir that the remake made it out to be.
No. Yeah.
I mean, the dog
a pit
kept...
of blood or tar or whatever it was in the remake. Yeah. The fuck was that?
It was supposed to be, I think it was supposed to be like blood, black blood or something like that.
Yeah. The water was turning into tar or whatever.
Which brings me to the dog, Harry, which I read like in the original where he's digging so hard, actually makes his paws bleed. Yeah. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. And I felt bad for Harry, but I mean, they actually kill Harry in the remake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why I was like going in the original. I'm like going, yeah, Harry has to live. And he goes back
Harry's
to save
a hero.
Harry.
Yeah.
Harry's a huge hero. Yeah.
Apparently in real life, within the first hour of the Lutzes moving into the house, Harry was tied up in the back and jumped the fence. But his chain was kind of short, and he almost strangled himself.
Oh, no.
That was the first hour.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Poor Harry.
I do like Harry's end in the original far better than what occurs to him in the remake. That was probably the most disturbing part of that remake.
It
always makes me uncomfortable when stuff like that happens, even though it wasn't particularly graphic. Like they cut away from it.
Yeah, right. But in that movie, they made the delusions that George was having far more clear that he was definitely hallucinating, which makes me think there was a black mold problem.
Exactly.
In the boathouse, most likely, because that's where he was the only one who spent any time in there.
Yep.
Well, and then there was the other bit, too, where he kept imagining, like, the dog, after he killed it, it was barking. I'm like, yeah, can't kill a dead dog. Bastard.
Well, and that's a suggestion of his guilt getting to him, right?
True. But I'm like, yeah, Harry, keep barking. Keep going.
Yeah, and that's one of the elements I did enjoy of that remake, really, particularly, was that recurring barking and stuff after he's murdered Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, he did think he was slaying a demon or whatever.
He did, yes. So, like,
you know, that's, I think, what the house was trying to do was make him think some evil had wandered into his family, at least in the remake.
Well, yes. And when ultimately he's visualizing
was
that he's not looking at, like, his stepson. He's looking at this demon that's sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the original, I'm not sure what the house was trying to do other than, I think, make history repeat itself.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, you get the idea that Jody wanted to have a friend with her all the time, forever and ever and ever. I mean, that's a little disturbing in and of itself, but that's the little kid mentality. So little kid ghost wants little kid friend.
Yeah.
Although she saw Jody as a, was it a pig?
In the original, as a pig man, yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting because, you know, the eyes outside the window and describing.
Oh, that was so cheesy.
It was cheesy. Yeah. Apparently, in real life, the DeFeos, kept talking about this cat, this really fat cat that one of the kids of the DeFeos mm-hmm. called the pig.
Oh, wow.
That would jump into the branches and the eyes could be seen shining through the window, even on the second floor. So, because it'd like to go in that tree a lot. So, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Before I forget, you reminded me there's a tree about the tree in the end scene when they're when like the storm's going through and branches are crashing through. I noticed because I watched the like the last 30 minutes twice, well, twice and a, once and a half. But
there's one of the dreary days.
Yeah, yeah. Where the branch comes through one of the parabolic windows there. Yeah. Right. When George is leaving the house the second time, they show the back of the house. All the windows are intact.
They're fine. Yeah.
I'm like, you fuckers. Get talk that about right. Continuity.
Couldn't even get that shit right.
Well, I kept seeing in both movies, I kind of wrote down, I'm like, I don't like Jody. If I was a mother, I'm like going, so Jody told you to do this? Sorry, but Jody's a bit of a bitch. I don't think I want you being friends with her.
Should we go up to the top of the house and
play
up there and dive off? Like, you're a dumb kid.
See, if I was a mother, I wouldn't be saying like Jody isn't real. I'm like, when Jody's a bitch, and maybe you shouldn't be spending any time with her.
You can't be friends with Jody.
You can't be friends
Jody's
with Jody.
A bad influence.
Yeah. Maybe Jody should keep herself to herself in this house.
And that was one thing I found really interesting about the original two is I don't recall them ever having a conversation about the imaginary friend. Right?
I don't.
There was acknowledgement.
There was acknowledgement, but when it becomes that disturbing. You would think that there would be a conversation between the two parents saying, I'm really concerned about this imaginary friend. Yeah. Do we need to take her to talk to somebody? Right? And that's what would happen.
It's the 70s. They go, Jody's not real. Knock it off.
Yeah, that's, it is.
Even that didn't happen, though. Right. Yeah.
Or even then, like, I was waiting for, like, the big reveal. They're, like, going, when she's looking through the stuff, just, like, her name is Jody. Like, making that connection. Her name was Jody? Mm-hmm. Jody DeFeo. Like, they never really make that link at any point in time.
It just popped into my brain. So when George decides to kind of do some investigating on the house, was that a library or a store? Because
it's a library.
It was a library.
Like, you don't have a library card? They're free.
Yeah.
That's
you can
what I
just
thought.
Check it out. Why did you steal it?
You just moved here. You can take it out. It's a whole week's worth of
it's
reading.
It's a library.
I raised the same question while I was watching. I'm like, why the fuck is he stealing it? It's a library.
Like, you don't have time to just sign up for a library. It's real easy.
I mean, even if they'd suggested he was embarrassed by the book he'd picked up, like porn or something like that, then it would have made a little more sense. Because, I mean, obviously he was picking up a book on the occult or something like that, right? Yeah. So I could see how he might be embarrassed by it, but it wasn't conveyed.
No. The town had already been kind of whispering behind his back a little bit because he did it. He looks a lot like DeFeo, yeah. Ronald DeFeo Jr. So there was something like that. So this guy who looks like this mass murderer, or maybe not mass murderer, but the murderer
is, he murdered more than four people.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. So this guy who murdered his family, and now a guy moves into the same house who looks a lot like him.
Right. If I was one of the old biddies at the library, you're damn straight I'm going to be gossiping about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe there was something about that. He was just avoiding a conversation.
Yes,
but just get a library card.
No, just get a library card.
In the 70s, that would be kind of one of the first things you do, like in a kind of a smaller town, because like that's where you take the kids, like on a rainy day, or at least that's what we did when I was younger. You'd go to the library, get out books.
Yep,
the library's place to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah, there's just a lot of stuff that wasn't conveyed particularly well. And I'll be honest with you, I found James Brolin's performance to be hammy and a little bit uneven.
Yeah, but I found his hair amazing.
I thought he was even throughout, just very stoic throughout. Yeah. Like, it just, even when he was supposed to be a more pleasant person, he felt like the same guy all the way through. It was consistent, to be honest, and that's where I felt the performance kind of failed.
Yeah, like, again, I think it was just, I didn't get the really good sense of, like, this super good guy gone bad type of deal or becoming unhinged.
Mm-hmm. No, and you get more of that in the remake, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ryan Reynolds does Happy Friendly really well.
He does Charm really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I kind of liked his dark turn in this, because you don't see it very often.
The first time I didn't, like, I did see this one, the remake in the theater.
I've seen it, yeah.
And I gotta say, it was actually a lot more disturbing this time. I think maybe with his renaissance of comedic characters and just letting his natural personality mm-hmm. shine through in a lot of things makes that role look that much more disturbing to me now.
Yeah. Well, I think because, I mean, this came out in 2005 and he was just starting to get a lot of these lead roles. The movie that I remember first seeing him in actually was only 2003, which I would love to remake. I'd love to remake Foolproof.
Well, and he was, I don't want to remake it. It's a great movie.
Good point.
He'd already been Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place for a number of years before this.
Yes. But this is where he's sort of starting to break out into leading role films. And I thought this was sort of in the middle because I was already aware of him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really early on in his sort of North American film career.
Yeah, he'd already done lots of features in Canada, and he'd done quite a few things already. This was like the first like serious role that I could recall.
Yeah, he was in a lot of Canadian television and stuff like that. Actually, we were in two shows together, believe it or not. Not at the same time.
Really?
But he was on The Marshal, which I also worked on.
And Lonesome Dove?
Lonesome Dove, which I also worked on.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah, but unfortunately, at different times. And he's 6 years younger than me, so he would have been quite young.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, but I'm like, hey, how about that? I have 1 degree of separation from Ryan Reynolds.
And with you, it gives us two. Yay! But what I liked about it, like you say, like the dark turn, when I first saw it, I wasn't on board. But when I looked at, like, especially the fire chopping scene where he's having the kid hold the wood while he's
disturbing.
Chopping, I'm like going, oh, that's an evil, evil person.
Oh, yeah, with the menace on his face. Yeah. Like, he did it actually quite well.
Yeah, are we friends? Are we having fun now?
I feel like we're ready.
I think we're ready.
All right, let's go to the 2005 trailer.
Houses here are way out of our price range. When the business is good, we're going to have the greatest house.
It's beautiful. This is an amazing house. You are going to love it.
Holy. This is the deal of a lifetime. So, what's the catch?
There was a crime, a murder.
In the house?
And several people, a family.
Accused claims he heard voices coming from within the house.
Well, houses don't kill people. To a perfect house, and to a perfect family.
Who are you talking to?
The girl who lives in my closet.
And what's her name?
Jody.
Who's her?
Just seeing things, I guess. Why don't you come back to bed?
I can't sleep.
There was a family. Lived here some time ago. They had a similar problem.
I'm living in their house. I need to get out of here. Just back home.
Everything I have is in this house.
It's okay, Mommy. Jody won't hurt you. But the man who lives here, he says he's bad.
Was the Amityville Horror trailer from 2005 with the screenplay by Scott Kozar, who has done quite a bit in the invasion world.
Yes, he has.
Episode 95, we covered
The Crazies.
The Crazies, the 2010 version. And in episode 161,
TCM.
Yes, the 2003 remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
He's got a lot of crimes. A lot of crime stands.
A lot of real life crimes.
Well, and one that kind of makes up for it a little bit was the incredible The Machinist.
Yes.
Film. Mm-hmm. He wrote that as well. So he does make it up for it. But I don't know about crimes. I mean, his Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake is pretty decent.
Yeah.
And so is The Crazies.
I thought you meant like just real life crimes that he was covering in movies.
No,
okay.
Remake crimes.
No.
Oh, no.
Actually, no, he does what we'd like to see is he takes the original story and puts his own twist on it, so it's not quite the exact retelling of the original movie.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the strongest one of his, but I don't hate it as much as I thought I did. No. Doesn't rate much higher than the other one, though. IMDb gives it a 6 out of 10, and Rotten Tomatoes reviews were just as kind as the other one. 23% critic score and 52% audience score, so people like it about the same.
Yeah.
Budgeted at $19 million, it grossed $42.8 million worldwide.
$19 million.
Yeah, that's pretty cheap.
That seems
actually
low for that.
Well, you think about the cash, you're not paying a lot of
single location for the most part.
True, but I'm like with the CG stuff, I thought it would be more.
It was really the flies. Oh, really?
Well, and some of the demon
house. Kids, house, making the sets.
They're really quick flashes, though.
Yeah.
At that point, I don't think Ryan Reynolds was demanding a huge paycheck at that point. I mean, the biggest thing I think he'd done was Blade Trinity.
Yes.
So probably was fairly cheap on the actor's side of things.
I'm trying to think of any other big names in it. They did cut down on some of the cast.
Yeah, this was directed by Andrew Douglas, which is honestly his most famous movie. So Ryan Reynolds, of course, was George Lutz. I don't need to tell you about what he's been in, Deadpool stuff. This is the first time we've talked about him show as being in a film we've covered. So that's kind of cool that we finally got to talk about Ryan Reynolds.
Playing James Brolin's role, and then he was in a movie with Josh Brolin, James Brolin's son.
Yes, when Josh played Cable in Deadpool 2.
Yeah,
so 5 degrees. 7 degrees? I don't know. What is
it?
What is
the cool.
It's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, isn't it?
Yeah, somewhere Kevin. Somewhere there's bacon. Yeah. I don't know. Bacon.
If we're
bacon.
Doing it by relations, it's like 1 degree once removed.
There you go. Melissa George was Kathy Lutz. I've actually talked about her briefly in the original, our first 31 Days of Horror, when I talked about a film called Triangle. Really great underrated horror movie. Please go check it out.
She's very good.
It's very good. And she's very good. And she covered her Australian accent very well in this movie. Jimmy Bennett was Michael Lutz. I couldn't believe we actually had talked about this kid before.
I knew we had.
As soon as I saw his face, it's so distinct. And that was episode 69.
Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Poseidon, the remake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesse James, or Jess James, was Billy Lutz, and he was in As Good As It Gets. She keeps turning up, and this was her feature film debut. Chloe Grace Moretz.
Times you talked about this thing.
Yes,
this thing,
was,
this
it
woman,
was
this girl.
Yeah,
Chelsea Lutz. Yeah, she's starting to become a regular on this show. She's been in quite a few horror remakes. Episode 28 was the first time we talked about her.
I wasn't here for this one, but let me in.
Let me in, yes.
That was correct. Then it'd be a long, long time before we talked about her again, but it was fairly recent in episode 175.
Carrie.
And episode 177, just two episodes later.
Oh, good God. Why am I, my brain's blanking.
I'm gonna wait and see if Trish gets this. But
yeah. She wasn't in the movie that much.
But she was at the very beginning.
Yeah. And the very end.
And the very end.
Oh, it's the one with the witches in the ballet.
Yeah.
Suspiria, yes.
Thank you. Yes.
She was on the right track. I had to help.
She was.
Yeah. Exactly. You knew where I was going.
Yes.
Your clues help. Thank you.
Rachel Nichols was the hot babysitter, Lisa. She had like the retainer in the original film.
I was about to say, what a turn.
What a turn.
It made sense with the older child. With the guy who's just going to puberty. It really changed
the
dynamic.
Who didn't want the babysitter. And if I was that age and saw her, oh, hell yeah.
Babysit me, please.
Babysit the shit out of me. Episode 40. We've actually talked about her before. I couldn't believe it.
Conan and the Barbarian.
I know, right?
And that's the last connection I have. So
Philip Baker Hall, we've never talked about. He was Father Calloway, and you've seen him in lots of movies.
Everywhere.
But Heart 8, Boogie Nights, stuff like that. Isabel Connor was Jodie DeFeo, so mainly talked about, but we did get to see the murder at the beginning, and we do see images of Jodie's ghost. Brendan Donaldson was Ronald DeFeo, and Annabelle Armoire was the realtor who was in Contagion and Mercury Rising. The original film, the doll that the daughter had there, Anne in the original film, she had a Raggedy Ann doll, which I find interesting because Annabelle, the in the Conjuring, from the Conjuring movies, the real Annabelle is a Raggedy Ann doll. So,
and I had two of them, but they were fine.
They were, there was nothing fine about Raggedy Ann.
They were very nice to me, both of them.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad they were nice to you.
I didn't have a Raggedy Andy. I had no use for him. Screw him. I still have them, by the way.
Poor Andy. Nobody's ever complained about a haunted Andy.
No. No. Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe. If you do know about a haunted Raggedy Andy doll, we would like to option your story for about $5.
Absolutely.
Because that's about all we can afford.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that, the haunted Raggedy Andy movie. It wouldn't be The Conjuring. It would be like the, we kind of want to get it going. The somewhat happening.
The half-assening.
There we go.
The half-assening. I like it. I like it a lot.
Oh, no. It's the half-assening.
Which I feel brings us full circle to Amityville Horror 2005. Because it is a bit of a half-assening. I do think the script is much tighter. They've rearranged things a bit. They've certainly taken the religious aspects mostly out of the movie, except the doorknobs.
Yeah. That, see, if I went to a house with those, wouldn't that be weird? Wouldn't you think that was weird?
No, I would have been like, well, one, why?
That's
two,
why.
They're really cool.
Yeah, they're really cool.
But, I mean, you did say your first question is why, which means that they're weird.
Every time you turn the knob, it's upside down.
Yeah.
Mm. So anytime you open the door, you're potentially summoning the devil.
Yes. you're potentially inviting evil into your home.
Yeah, so I would leave every door open.
Yeah.
Just easier that way.
Largely what happened with the windows in this movie. Windows and the doors, just boom.
Yeah, and I liked it when in the remake, the way that they eliminated the whole door blowing out, or actually two doors, because the basement door blew out in the original as well. Yeah. But they're constantly opening, and the windows are constantly opening, and they reference that. Like it's always cold in here, right? So he keeps leaving the windows open. Right. So it's very subtle at first, right? Like, there's a lot more subtlety at the beginning.
I'd be going to the doctor thinking I had a circulatory issue.
Yeah.
Right? Or if you feel like that much shit, I mean, go see a doctor.
Yeah.
You could be dying.
Quite possibly. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if it is black mold, like Jay suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
naturally, in an investigation, you want to try to debunk as much as possible.
Yeah.
Well, so it's an old house.
Oftentimes when you hear of hauntings and stuff, and then there's like contagions and shit within the, I'm like, you're hallucinating because you're infested with black mold.
Well, and the other thing that they do in the remake is before he really starts to sort of deteriorate, he falls into the water chasing after Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So again, that sort of suggests that he could be just getting a flu or something that could be causing.
He did dive into the lake.
He was looking for Chelsea because he saw the balloon come out of the boathouse.
Yeah. And I'm sure you were really uncomfortable with that shirtless Ryan Reynolds scene.
Yeah. I was like, oh, no, not again. Darn. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, post-blade rippedness.
After a certain point, I'm like, I know he's evil, but
But he's not evil. That's the whole point of the story.
I know,
he's not
but
evil.
He's being kind of possessed.
Evil-ish.
Yeah.
But I do like what they did.
He didn't kill anybody. He killed the dog.
He did kill the dog.
That was actually the highest body count of the two movies.
Yeah.
Because do you count the flashback of the DeFeos?
If you don't, then there's a bigger body count.
There's no body count.
What I liked about it is, like, in the original, it's sort of like they say that he would feel better when he left the house, but he still looked like crap. Mm-hmm. At least in the remake, when George leaves the house, you see a marked change in him, which...
He still looks unwell, but not as unwell. And his...
Feels a little more clear-headed.
His personality seems...
More reassert itself,
Like, especially the dinner scene, right, where they're having dinner and they're back, and he's behaving very normally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after they go back to the house, you see that complete turnaround again.
Almost immediately.
Yeah. Well, he did come to a house with the babysitter locked in the...
Which I also would have said at that point, Jody's a bitch. Stop hanging around with her.
And she's hauled out, just shaking.
I did like that, because that would probably just completely fuck
she
up
was
that babysitter.
On a gurney, yeah, she was strapped down, like she had gone absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Because she saw things in the closet, whereas in the original, she was just locked in the closet.
She was in there for more than 30 seconds before she started pounding her fist to a bloody pulp on the door that didn't have a lock on it.
Like, if you'd intimated that she was claustrophobic at the beginning, I could get why she was doing that. But that's the only explanation.
I gotta say, for this, what was probably a $1.5 million home, normally, the closets must have been well built. Because, I mean, most closets aren't that sturdy.
Well, in the remake,
shoulder.
She should have been able to at least bash out those slats.
Yeah.
It wasn't a strong door. In the original, it looked like a really strong door. There was no way she was getting through.
She lost her shit and wasn't thinking clearly.
Yeah. And I mean, in those older homes, they did put real doors on closets quite frequently. Not these flimsy panel doors that we have now that a two-year-old could walk through if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, you'd have like a proper one. And then you'd have it like proper wood. So if anything, if there's like too much humidity or heat or anything, or the house shifted, you couldn't open your closet.
Yeah, I come to think of it now, like the closet in my childhood home was, they were sliding doors, mind you, but they were solid. They were heavy.
Yeah. We had solid ones, but I remember it would be hard to open sometimes because just how the house was settling.
Right. Yeah. Or it just gets a little bit damp, the wood swells. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had doors like that in some of the houses I grew up in, but so I mean, and again, a possible debunking, right? Is that they when the door shut, it was wedged, right?
Yeah. But
in the remake, they intimated that the doorknob would not turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And even in the original, the doorknob wouldn't turn for her.
And the kids were kind of in a trance, not even trying to get her out.
Well, in the remake, the two boys run off because they're freaked out. Well,
they
little girl.
They tried in the remake. Yeah. Right? They tried to turn the doorknob, right? They're going, well, no, it won't open. The door won't turn. The doorknob won't turn.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it was just the girl. The boys weren't even in the scene in the original film.
Yeah.
And she just sat there and watched.
Yeah.
Which was really creepy.
Yeah.
Because she said Jody wouldn't let me open the door.
It would have been nice to see her arguing with Jody.
Yeah.
That would have been good. I would have liked that because she's like going, I know you are my friend, but I don't think
we should
do
this. It does make me wonder
what
kind of adult that kid would turn into.
Yeah.
It really does. I think that would have added a lot to the scene. I mean, it was creepy enough as it was, but if you had that bit of conversation between her and Jody, right, and have that babysitter who's already terrified overhearing this conversation, that would just add to her breakdown.
Yeah. Missed opportunity. Yeah.
And I mean, like, you can have this little kid. Like, I mean, when you're a little kid, you can have disagreements with your childhood friends being like, I don't think we should do this. Or, like, we're going to get in so much trouble if we don't stop doing this. Like, a normal kid would say that.
Mm-hmm. You know that scene where Chloe's up on the top of the house that Chloe Grace...
That's
so
terrifying.
She did most of her stunts in this movie, by the way, at only age 8.
She's an incredible performer.
In that movie, she's great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. And in most movies, I don't think she's ever delivered a really uneven or bad performance. She's been in some maybe not great movies, but she's always strong. It's one of her characteristics.
It's usually never her fault, regardless of how you feel about the remake she's been in.
But as young as she was really amazing at kind of portraying a lot of this stuff. Like, I could get why she did a lot of it. In the original, I didn't really get much from that little girl, but in this, I sort of get more of who this little girl is.
Yes, I mean, the kids have personality
in this one.
Took me most of the original movie to figure out who was who.
Yeah. Oh my God, I couldn't tell you which one was which. At least of the two boys, I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah, well, little girl's obvious.
Which I had a question about that wedding. How come the two little boys were there, but they had to get a babysitter for the little girl?
I don't know.
Because she doesn't seem like she's that much younger.
Yeah, it baffled. That baffled me.
Because she was sick.
Too.
There's the reference to the fact that she was not well.
There we go.
She had a cold or flu, right? Because they talk. Because remember, he's going to let George off the hook, saying, "Well, you really don't look George. I understand if you want to bow out." Mm-hmm. And they talked about both of them having this flu.
Oh, okay, that confused me. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Because I was like, going, why?
No, they got her a babysitter because they didn't think she was well enough to go to the wedding.
There were two characters. One who I guess was a coworker of George's,
a partner in the business.
Yeah, that George slugs. But we later see his wife, and I'm like, oh, this is a way to kind of shoehorn the Warrens in here without actually calling them the Warrens, because she was sixth sensing this house all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, what I for the first time she drove up, she wouldn't even go
she
in.
She wouldn't go in. I did let, but the one moment where they're talking about it and George is like, all this weird stuff's happening. I don't know what to say about it. And then she starts to say, well, this was the Ketchum house and blah, 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 and doing that whole exposition dump. And then her husband's like, ah, quit squawking about all that stuff. I'm like going, your buddy was talking about it 2 seconds ago that he thought something like that was happening and she's off her rocker. Fuck you. Super mad about that.
Yeah.
But I like the moment where she's part of it, where she actually goes down the basement and actually starts chipping away at that wall. She's the first one to take the first swing. I thought that was kind of cool.
So the lore about Ketchum, I was watching some YouTube docs before the show, and none of it's verifiable. So the lore is he was a practicing witch and fled Salem to this place, continued his experiments in witchcraft while he was there. Nothing of that is verifiable, though.
Of course. Like so many things from that time.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things, too, because of the Salem witch trials and how so many of them that they killed weren't actual witches. It's sort of like a lot of it also comes with that idea is like going, oh, he was rumored to be witch. A lot of them were rumored to be a witch. They killed a lot of people who never were. So, like, you can't really go into a lot of these stories thinking anything about them is true.
No, and I mean, they make a lot of the Salem witch trials, and I mean, ultimately, from what I understand, is the number of witches they actually killed was actually quite small. It's like, I mean, it's still reprehensible, but yeah, there was like 5 or 6, and they're making it sound like it was hundreds of them.
Oh, there was more than 5 or 6.
Yeah, but it wasn't as many as people make it out to be.
But there was more than a few. I think there was a couple hundred, but it's...
That's what everybody thinks.
It's right? not... But, if you look at the percentage of the population, it was like 30% of the population at the time, like for that group of people. Yeah. And that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But like I said, most people think it's hundreds, but I think yeah, it was 5 or 6 like
is way
30s, right?
too low.
Yeah. But it wasn't as high as hundreds as people think it is. Right. But it is in comparison to the population. Absolutely. It was an astonishing number.
It was exorbitant. Yeah. Like there weren't that many people and they were killing a lot of them. So it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Religious fervor. Most horrifying thing there is scarier than this movie.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. Okay. Getting back to the priest. It would bother me so much because that young priest, there were so many moments where I felt he was trying to be like, well, let's go back to the house together. And then it just never happened.
It reminds me of one of the scenes that bugged me so much in this movie. The scene where they're driving back and the car gets taken under control and the hood pops up. Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
It does. They
added nothing to the story.
Well, they're making it say after the priest's visit, the father's visit, he got some sort of attachment because the phone lines weren't working, which could have just been the phone lines not working. But saying that this house was reaching out and causing issues within his own life, the blisters on his hand.
And he couldn't, like, breathe at one point. Yeah. And he had a fever.
Got slapped in the house.
Yeah, the idea of the house trying to kill him by crashing his car in and of itself isn't necessarily a bad concept, right?
I love the idea of, like, tossing holy water and it's sizzling.
Yeah.
I like that. I love that. Remake.
But, yeah, just the way it was handled just really
yanked you right out of everything. I don't know. Maybe it would have been terrifying in the 70s. I don't know. I thought it was silly. I honestly felt... I'm glad they ditched a lot of that because most of it just felt like wasted screen time to me.
Well, and some of it was really wasted, too. Like, at the one point where he's in the church and then he goes blind... And then they have this one bit where the other priest goes to visit him at wherever he's at, and he doesn't say anything. He's staring straight ahead. I'm like, going, he's blind. He's not deaf and or mute and or catatonic. Mm. He was at the end of that previous scene. He was still talking. He was like, I'm blind. That's how you communicate. And he was non-communicative, so I don't quite get where that happened.
Yeah, there's just... And I felt like a lot of that in the original film where everything just like...
Goes nowhere.
We had ideas for scenes, but... No actual story behind them.
Yeah.
And then
just things that happened and they don't string together in a logical way.
And the cop tries to talk to him and then the other priest just goes away and nothing happens with the cop either.
At least with the cop, like I felt something was there when he first shows up and he decides to keep an eye on the house because he was the investigating officer on the DeFeo murder.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's just keeping an eye on things like, okay, something's fishy here, and I don't want this to happen again kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it does kind of just trail off.
Yeah, he just sort of disappears.
Like, at least you get an idea of his story, but he doesn't. If he's watching them all the time, he's not coming to help when they do need it.
Yeah.
He's just, like, kind of there, and then he's not.
Yeah.
That's what should have happened with the priest when he went blind. He was there, then he's not, but then they had to give you this extraneous scene where Don Stroud's priest comes to see him.
Mm-hmm.
It served no purpose.
Oh, it does nothing.
Yeah. If that had offered closure for the priest and the officer, then it would have made sense. But mm-hmm. you're right, it just kind of trailed off and didn't really accomplish anything.
Yeah, there's so much nonsense in that first movie that obvious audiences overlooked and just looked past. But maybe because they're just looking for something, a scary movie. Yeah. But it's not a good movie.
I think maybe they were sort of forgiving in the 70s because there was always this sort of... There are people kind of yearning for some of this naturalistic storytelling where life is sort of meandering
mm-hmm.
a lot. And I think they were more forgiving in that sense. But yeah, no, I just, there's so many missed opportunities. Like they kept I think it's because we're just so used to it now, where they tee up stuff and they never do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
They have like 20 Chekhov's guns just sitting on the table and none of them are doing anything with them.
Yeah. One thing I do really enjoy about the original movie is everything is kind of ambiguous right up until the end. Like they're suggesting that it could be supernatural, but they mm-hmm. also offer explanations that it could be illness. Like it's not in your face like the remake is until mm-hmm. that very end when the walls are bleeding and there's the pit of black blood tar stuff and
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff.
Every time now, like I couldn't get it out of my head when I was watching the original movie. I'm like, oh right, that's the Simpsons Trios of Horror.
Yes.
Do it again.
What?
Make the walls bleed.
No.
Hey, man, we own you. Let's see some blood.
I don't have to entertain you.
Come on, man, do it. Do the blood thing. Come on, do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
Why are you trying to scare us? Are you trying to keep us from getting close to you? Maybe even loving you?
Leave me alone.
Don't talk to her like that.
Hey, listen, lady.
Well, don't call me lady. My name is Marge Simpson. This is my family, and we're not going anywhere. We're all going to have to live together, so you better get used to it. Please.
Can I have a minute to think about this?
Sure.
Life with the Simpsons. What choice do I have?
Itself rather than live with us. You can't help but feel a little rejected.
You know what? And I kept looking at it, and it was one of those things where I'm like going, I want to see a version of this movie where it is Ryan Reynolds and the house has got the super hots for him. And that's why it wants him to kill his family, because it's like, ooh, this guy has great abs, and the house is like, yum, let's keep this. And so then the house is trying to make this happen. Because I just feel like...
Once you learn it's haunted, it's like, hey, let's cooperate. I want my coffee when it's over there, or I'm going to be throwing holy water on you. And we already know how you like it.
Relationship right there already, isn't it?
Right there, yeah, that's not good.
Rather than abusing his son, he can abuse his house.
But the other thing about...
There's no laws about abusing your house.
But honestly, if he can try doing that, from what we've seen in the house can... fuck him up if it wants to. So
it's
maybe
true.
He better relax about that a little bit. Because if anybody's going to have the upper hand, it's going to be the house.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Lock him in a room for a couple of days, change his attitude.
Yeah, I mean, it heals his windows awfully quick. Trees pop out and windows are fine.
Yep.
Oh, the windows. When he kept, there's all these screws in the windows and I'm looking at them going, those won't connect to anything on the other side. That won't seal the window.
Well, it was all silly. It was obviously he was at a state of possession, and the house was getting to him to build these things so the house could activate them and trap everybody inside. It watches like complete nonsense on the screen when you first see it. It's like, why is he putting all these screws halfway in the window?
Oh, but
nobody even says anything about it. And then when the ghosts in the house itself winds up twisting them the rest of the way to lock them into the house. I'm like, well, just do it ahead of time, and then the house doesn't have to go through the effort. No wonder it's pissed at you.
That's not even it. If you screw those screws all the way in, they just go out the other side of the window. They weren't angled in any significant way to anchor. That's what bothered me. Unless that unless the house is bending the screw and screwing it down at a 90-degree angle, that's not going to work. And that is what I had a problem with.
Well, and we've already established it can lock unlockable doors.
Yes.
So who gives a fuck about the screws?
No, it would have made more sense if they'd because he would have kept complaining about somebody leaving the windows open. If he'd have screwed them all the way in to shut them because he's tired of people leaving them open.
That would make
that
more sense.
That would have made more sense.
That would make way more sense. Because I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because clearly the house doesn't need your help.
No.
No, it's very weird. It's like it doesn't want him to kill his family. That's the whole point. But it's very odd. Yeah. I think it also wants to pin it on him, too. Yeah, that's why I say I want the remake where it's a dark comedy.
The house is really worried about being incriminated.
Yeah. It really is. That's why I want the comic remake where the house falls in love with Ryan Reynolds and wants to keep him.
Could be a fun movie, actually. But, yeah, I mean,
College Humor, get on it.
There we go.
There's lots of, I think the remake that I liked, for the most part, just because it was so concise. Again, like we said, it's not necessarily a better movie, but it is certainly more entertaining and it's less of a slog.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did hold my attention more than the original did. And there's a lot less loose ends.
Yeah, some decisions made makes more sense to me in this
movie.
It's
because they just that silliness has been exercised from the original script.
Well, and they cut out so many characters.
Oh yeah,
they really.
Oh,
actually,
it's a much smaller cast.
Yeah, they stripped it down to just the essentials, basically.
Yeah,
right. Which I like. Again, it made it for a faster paced, less of drawn out film.
Even when I'm watching the original film, I'm like, oh my god, did nobody review this script? Like, it needed so much tightening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think the whole thing is the book was like this huge bestseller and they were banking. They're like, people will just come to see this regardless. We don't have to put that much effort into it.
Yeah, because it was a big seller. Yeah.
And we've talked about other movies like that. For life of me, cannot remember a single name of them. But there was another one that we talked about that was based on a bestseller that ended up being a mediocre film at best. I'll remember it after we finished recording, obviously. But
was it Ghost Story?
Ghost Story was one. Yes. Yeah, because of Peter Straub. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's
we still get flack for that episode.
It wasn't a great episode, I'll admit. We still had some new dynamics going on. And
we were working
fell
on
into
stuff.
Some weird habits that we thankfully we also got over.
Exercised.
Exercised.
Like the house. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's ambiguous as the source of the evil in the house in the second movie, but it's ambiguous whether there is any evil in the first movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's one thing that I really hated about the remake, and that was when he does break through to the Red Room, and then it's like this tunnel of cages and stuff that.
Mm-hmm.
That felt completely unnecessary.
From what I was able to understand, that was the room where they were dumping mentally ill Native Americans.
Where Ketchum was doing experiments on these Native Americans.
Doing experiments on them. But
I mean, it wasn't necessary.
This movie was so liberally ripping off from more successful horror movies. Yeah. I mean, there was one point.
This felt like 13 Ghosts in some way.
I was about to 13 say.
Ghosts.
Yeah, that part
one of them
sure.
was in the Gollum Hunch.
Yep.
From Lord of the Rings. Yeah. So, like, there was a lot to nitpick about this movie in general. I almost hucked my beer at the TV but I wouldn't do that to beer.
Or your TV.
Or my TV.
Yeah, exactly.
When Ryan Reynolds is in the bathtub and we get the fucking Freddy Krueger scene.
That bothered me too.
Like, fuck off.
Yeah, it tried to grab every trope it could find.
Yeah.
Well, and I kept looking at them going, you know what would be more terrifying? Is if he was just like, oh yeah, I'm relaxing. And it's not hands or anything grabbing him. He just can't get up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing there, and you can see the panic, and that's it. That would be hella more terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And original.
Mm-hmm.
It would be far more original in the context of a story.
Yeah, instead of these hands grabbing you from underneath. I mean, it was all supposed to be dream delusion, but...
This one feels like they crammed too many new things into it in some ways that weren't necessary to move the story forward. But because they cut so much of the original story out, they're like, oh, well, now we've only got a 25-minute film. We better cram some more stuff in here.
Yeah. They're like, we need a few more scares. Where can we just put some?
Yes. As long as it's at 3:15 a.m., it's fine. Yeah. We can do scary all we want.
Ooh, but I have to say, the one part I found truly horribly terrifying is when Melissa George falls into the water behind the boat.
Oh, that was so well done.
And her hair.
Oh, gets caught in the boat.
Oh, that's like a night. That's nightmare fuel, because that can happen if
well,
it happened to you.
We did see that happen in Piranha 3D. Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he just tightens it a bit, and I'm like, that's freaky as hell.
Yeah. And then she gets out of it.
Are you fucking crazy, George? Have you lost your mind? You're trying to kill me.
Exactly.
I think that would have been divorce grounds right there.
Well, and she's like, get away from me, because, she's... Yeah.
Unlike Margot Kidder, she's like, yeah, I don't think you're the person I'm going to be depending on to get out of here.
But, I mean, she does remain the strong one. She's the one who goes to the priest for help and...
Does the research to find out what's going on with the
house.
Yeah,
right? And ultimately rescues Ryan Reynolds from the house. I mean, you could have easily left him there to die after he's tried to kill you all.
Yeah, and and damn near does kill one of your kids.
Yeah.
I love when she clocks him with the butt of the shotgun. It was so... satisfying.
Well, I also like the interesting part where he kind of comes to and he's like, kill me or I'll kill you, and she's like, nope. Well, just clocks him again.
Yeah, that's where she's realizing
she does it twice.
Her he's husband's still there and trying to fight it.
And I love that scene. That's where probably one of the best part of either of the movies is that moment where you see that George is still there and it becomes clear to her, because guaranteed, even after they got out, it should have been automatic fucking divorce. Okay, we're safe and alive. We're done.
Mm-hmm. I was a little unsure why they didn't go to the car rather than the boat.
Because he'd slash the tires on the car.
Yeah.
There's some bits that I missed because sometimes it flashes by.
Yeah, because they did flash on the tires on the car and they were all flat.
Yeah, but I like the moment at the end where they're in the boat and they sort of stop for a minute and the whole family's kind of, it's that look where like going, are you? Mm-hmm. And he's like, nope, keep going. We're not going back.
We're not far enough away yet.
We gotta fuck off now.
We're never going back. Oh, and the bear with the missing eye. That little trope. Oh, yeah, that doll that your kid is having was buried with Jody.
That was dumb.
Yeah.
I didn't like that at all.
No, there was so much of that eye-rolling moments. I'm like, this is a tighter film, but why is there so much dumb shit in it?
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. And I don't understand why our audience really wanted us to cover this.
Yeah. You know, and I would have liked to have, strangely enough, had a bit more... of like where he's deteriorating, but you see the outside part of his life still trying to, like with the friend in the original, where he's like, you haven't been to work. You don't know what day it is. Something is very wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, just
what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Right.
That would be good.
Yeah. Yeah. There could have been a little bit more of that and a little bit less of the hokey tropey stuff.
Do the hokey tropey and turn yourself around.
Do the hokey tropey and you scream it out loud. That's what it's all about.
Turn your head around.
Speaking of hokey tropey.
You put your right knife in, you pull your right knife out, you pull your right knife in, and you shake it all about.
You shake all the intestines all about.
What did I do?
Do the hokey tropey and you turn yourself about.
Oh, wet it down, Trish.
No, then she's going to be making scratching noises. And yeah, okay. Maybe we'll actually write that song.
Yes.
I'll just write the title right now because we can. There's a lot to say.
So much to say.
Thank you for that one, Sam.
Yes, no thanks. Problem.
You didn't see that one coming.
No, I totally did not.
The gift that's going to keep on giving.
Oh, yeah. That one's going to be around. Now I forgive our audience for doing it just for the hokey tropey.
I know why our audience wanted us to do this. If they've listened to the show, they wanted to hear how we felt about both of these movies, right? Whether or not they like these movies or not, I think they enjoy our analysis of them.
Well, Amityville in general.
We hope you guys do.
Yes.
In general, has an infamy about it. Yeah. I don't think there are any good movies, any of them. I mean, I haven't seen them all.
Because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
But I'm not crazy about either one of these. And I have seen other ones, some TV movies and that sort of thing. And I can't remember, like, it's an idea we all like. We like this idea of this haunted house that exists.
But they haven't
But they've never done this well.
Like, and I like the, I love the idea of when a house sort of grabs somebody who's one of the more vulnerable members in the house and just make, like, does this to them, like deteriorates.
It actually upset me a bit when they did it in The Conjuring 2 as kind of an opening bit. I mean, I guess rights to the story probably reside with different studios, so you kind of have to dance around it a bit, but it's a bit tragic that they don't get to play with that story within the world of the, well, the fictional world of the Warrens that they've created there. That they've done quite well with, and I think are pretty good movies. Interesting that there's only two of them, and they've got actually more spinoffs than they do Conjurings.
Yes,
but. Which I kind
of
like.
Right. But I mean, we've seen this type of story done so well. I mean, Insidious is a good example of this, a very similar type of story being done well, and there's so many more.
Poltergeist. Like, we've covered it.
Yeah. Poltergeist. Well, and then there's like the reverse haunting, like the others. Which is very compelling movie.
Generally
the same idea, but handled in such a different way. It's really great.
The Orphanage.
Yes.
There's lots of great haunted house movies.
Yeah. And this is the one that has such a great, has such great source material. Fact or fiction. It's great source material. And it's so clumsily handled every time.
I don't get it. And, well, maybe that is a testament to how flimsy the original story actually is, because it is just a junken story over wine.
Maybe that's the curse of the true Amityville curse, is that it will never be made into a good story. There is a curse. It's just not on the house.
It is possible, yes. I may sound like a skeptic on this one. I'm really not. If anybody's been paying attention to the R episodes, I am a believer, but I'm also a skeptical believer, so...
Yeah, because not everything can be attributed to that type of activity.
No.
Some of it is just stuff that actually happens, right?
Yeah.
Like loose floorboards and damp windows and damp door frames. It is a lot of it is debunkable.
And sometimes old houses are creepy just because they're creepy. Like, they're old. And you're like, yeah, there's old, they're old, there's creakiness, there's dark corners, there's drafts that come out of nowhere.
Yep, absolutely. Basement with dirt floors.
Yeah, you can see vase, you can see faces in the walls when the tree light hits it the right way.
Yeah, and that's just pareidolia.
Yeah.
I can pick up any kind of rock and see three faces in it.
And as a little kid, you'd see, I'd see a lot of that any old
house. Sure, you know, we like to...
Our imaginations like to trick us.
Yeah. You know, the fronts of cars, the two headlights are eyes, the grill is your face.
It likes to make sense of shapes.
Yes. We anthropomorphize objects all the time.
Yes.
Your Roomba's called Freddy.
He is. That's just his name. People ask me why. I'm like, he just feels like a Freddy to me. I don't know why.
And you provided him with a gender as well.
Yeah, he's gendered. My plant isn't. And my plant's name is Owen, but I don't know. There's no gender.
I'm glad that your plant hasn't figured out its gender identity in time.
It doesn't have to. And no, it's a plant.
There's no pressure. There's no pressure to do that.
It's a plant, and the way it reproduces is very different. So I don't think gender really applies to plants generally.
Well, yes, it does. But
no, but I mean, like, overall, like, you, it's a little more fluid than the... It's not as binary as we have it.
That is true.
I mean, there's part, yeah, there's like the very hermaphroditic stuff that happens.
Yes. And that went a place.
Yes.
Keep your statement to yourself.
Welcome to botany on Invasion of the Remake. It's the same statement in the pistol.
All right.
I'm starting to feel like we're done with these movies.
I think so. Is there any last thoughts about the Amityville horror or the horror of these two movies? Has overtaken you?
No, to be honest, no. I think we've covered everything that I wanted to say about either of these movies, because they are what they are.
I find the best story here about the Amityville Horror is the one that, I mean, granted, maybe it has been told, but it's the DeFeo story.
Yes.
I mean, really, that seems like the better story here.
Well, and it seems like when I was watching the remake especially, it seemed like this weird mirroring where when George is away from the house. He sort of comes back to his normal self and can maybe see when he's acting a bit irrationally. Mm-hmm. And then when he gets to the house, all this crazy stuff happens, but he kind of leans into it because of all this effect. And I'm like, really great allegory for mental illness. You can't see it when you're in the midst of it and you're stuck inside it. You can't see it.
Yeah. I mean, from what I understand, the DeFeo story, like, you don't hear a lot about other than voices told me to do that, but did he even come up with that before anybody started telling ghost stories about the house? I mean, there's stories about that family being abusive and him leaving several times. There's even a theory that the daughter is the one that killed the parents and then just kind of kept going, and then he came home and saw this, shot her, and not to take down the name any further, just took all the blame. Like, these are just theories, but there's some great, no less horrifying stories, but not in a ghostly way. It's just a horrifying story.
Yeah, it is a horrifying story. It would be a great true crime type of film. I agree. I think that that is a story that I would, I don't know if I'd pay to see it, but I would certainly be interested to see.
Do you think...
And maybe, like, it has been done. I don't, like I said, there's countless Amityville movies, so there might actually be one of these out there.
I know there is a prequel. I don't know if it's about the DeFeos, though.
Yeah. Right. Well, it just makes me wonder, is like, maybe at the time, and part of it was with the Amityville thing, and because the murders were so recent, to sensationalize them in any way by trying to make a story about the actual tragedy, having it happen with the Lutzes removes it enough that you can get away with it and people won't get upset.
Yeah, it does give it more of a fantasy aspect to it that it doesn't get under the skin as much as reality does.
Mm-hmm. But it's a thing now. People are in love with these older true crime.
Oh, yeah, stories, it's huge. Right? It's all over podcasts. It's all over television.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's so many bad true crime TV series. Some good ones, but for the most part, they're just bandwagon shows.
Mostly bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love, I used to love Unsolved Mysteries. And what was the other one with Robert Stack? Oh, I can't remember.
I thought that was Unsolved Mysteries.
Was it Unsolved Mysteries? Yeah. There was another one, too, where it was
America's
like
America's Most Wanted?
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Because they used to, because they caught a lot of people that way.
Yeah, it's cyclic. Yeah. You know, and now it's just more spread out. I mean, I think it really got spawned by what Netflix did with Making a Murderer.
Yeah. I mean, it existed before that, but now there's a lot more quality stuff coming out.
Yeah, and Serial.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
I think it was even before that, and really, there's a couple of big hits that just, and then it exploded. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'd be making money if we were talking about true crime.
Yeah. Like My Favorite Murder? Huge.
But we talk about movies instead, and we love that you like listening to us, and we hope you liked the Amityville Horror.
Yes.
This week, as almost chosen by our viewers for our fourth anniversary.
One vote is honestly close enough.
Yeah. It is, and that's why when after the vote came through, Jay and I talked about it, and we're like, well, we'll just do it the next episode after, and then unfortunately we had
Rutger Hauer passed,
and we decided instead to do something different.
So we pushed it to our anniversary episode.
Because we wanted to reward you for all of your participation in those polls and
they were so close. It's like, oh, you poor guys who lost by one vote. Yeah. We wanted to give you your episode as well. So there it is.
Yeah.
Especially considering Amityville seemed like it was going to be the runaway for everything except for that final round.
Yeah. Prince of Darkness gave it a run.
And you know what? It's not like we hadn't spoken of this movie and this remake before.
No.
Yeah, we've covered other haunted house movies, so Amityville tends to come up in conversation whenever you talk about haunted houses. So
yeah, because it is sort of one of the most identifiable ones, particularly from the late 70s, early 80s, when this type of horror was becoming popularized because of Exorcist, and people really wanted that visceral experience from their horror.
And plus that house, so like with those windows, so iconic. You can just
Can't see them anymore because they have replaced them with rectangular windows. So,
but when you visualize it, you visualize it with the original windows.
Absolutely, with those moon-shaped windows. All right. Well, thanks for joining us for this episode. Please support us by giving us a 5-star rating and a short review on your favorite podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, Blueberry, Libsyn, iHeartRadio, and so many more, even freaking YouTube. So tell your friends and family about the show and help them get their
earballs
on the show.
I like that one. Earballs. That was kind of sexy, Trish.
She's trying some new things.
Trying some new things with the earballs.
Get you right in the earballs.
I was thinking about the house. You'd be like, Ryan Reynolds, stay in the house. And you're like, everybody else, get out. I love that one. That would be a long drawn out with him. Ryan Reynolds, stay. Everybody else, get out.
All right. Well, you can also follow us on our social media. We are at Invasion Remake on Twitter, Invasion the Remake on Facebook and Instagram, and invasiontheremake@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow at All the Horror 18 on Twitter. We're getting closer to the 31 Days of Horror that we do. And of course, All the Horror is doing 31 days of 31 podcasts and other content, and you can follow all of that at All the Horror 18 and using the hashtag All the Horror.
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
So we're involved
theme
again.
Song. You mustn't forget.
Oh yeah, new theme song, song yes. Just drops by Sean Faust. Is really cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, check that out on Twitter. Give it a listen and tell the world how fantastic Sean's music is.
Absolutely,
we will definitely be using that in our All the Horror episodes that drop in October.
I'm starting to curate now. It's going to be so exciting.
Yes, our 31 Days of Horror are definitely coming up where we all watch a horror movie a day that we've never seen before, and then we talk about it, and those will be culminate in usually two episodes in November.
It's like a month and a half from now.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a ways yet, but we got lots of stuff coming your way, and I think this will be it for horror until we get to October now, but you never know. We're itching for it. We might sneak a little one in there here and there, but we're getting so close now that I don't know if I want to do any more.
Yeah, just sort of
four episodes between now and October. And
well,
now,
there you go. And so we're not going to do another one until October.
We have something fun planned for next week.
Yes, we do. It's one I thought about doing before, and then it popped out, and then it popped in my brain again just this week. So, and Sam was like really excited about it.
Yay!
But Trish hasn't seen it.
I haven't heard of it, and I'm really excited about it now.
So there you go. That's all the hint we're going to give you, which is none at all.
Mm-hmm. Except that we're excited.
Okay, I want that noise to be used in various points from here on in.
I'll isolate it and we'll do something with it. That's it. I've been Jason.
I am always Sam.
And I continue to be Trish.
And we are out of here.
Bless all who live here.